ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 लॉर्ड कृष्णा सोज द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म टेक्स्ट नंबर 13। आसन वर्णास्त्रयो हि अस्य वृणन्तो अन्यो युगम तनुः शुक्लरक्तस्तथा पीत इदानीं कृष्णतां गतः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। Your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red and yellow. And now, he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramchandra in the color of Sukha or parrot. As such, all such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. Purport. Partially explaining the position of Lord Krishna and partially covering the facts, Kalkamuni indicated, your son is a great personality and he can change the color of his body in different ages. The word Granantaha indicates that Krishna is free to make his choice. In other words, he is the supreme personality of Godhead and may therefore do whatever he desires. In the Vedic literature, the different colors assumed by the personality of Godhead in different millenniums are stated. And therefore, when Gargamuni said, your son has assumed these colors, he indirectly said he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Because of Kamsa's atrocities, Gargamuni tried to avoid disclosing this fact. But he indirectly informed Nanda Maharaj that Krishna, his son, was the supreme personality of Godhead. It may be noted that Srila Japa Goswami in his book Krama Sandharva has enunciated the purport of this verse. In every millennium, Krishna appears in a different form, either as white, red or yellow. But this time, he personally appeared in his original blackish form. And as predicted by Gargamuni, exhibited the power of Narayan. Because in this form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead exhibits himself fully, his name is Sri Krishna, the all-attractive. Factually, Krishna is the source of all avatars, and therefore, all the different features of the different avatars are present in Krishna. When Krishna incarnates, all the features of all incarnations are already present within him. Other incarnations are partial representations of Krishna, who is the full-fledged incarnation of the Supreme Being. It is to be understood that the Supreme Being, whether he appears as Shukla, Rakta or Pita, white, red or yellow, is the same person. When he appears in different incarnations, he appears in different colors, just like the sun sign, which contains seven colors. Sometimes the color of sun sign are represented separately. Otherwise, the sun sign is observed mainly as bright light. The different avatars, such as Manavantara avatars, Lila avatars, and Dasa avatars, are all included in the Krishna avatar. When Krishna appears, all the avatars appear with him, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Avatarahi asankhyaya hare sattva nidhar divijaha यथाविदासिनः कुल्यः सरसः सुयुः सहस्रसः। The avatars incessantly appear, like incessant flowing water. No one can count how many waves there are in flowing water. And similarly, there is no limitation of the avatars. And Krishna is the full representation of all avatars because he is the source of all avatars. Krishna is Amsi, whereas others are Amsa, part of Krishna. All living entities, including us, are Amsas. Mamaiva Amsa Jivaloke Jivabhutah Sanatanaha. These Amsas are of different magnitude. Human beings, who are minute Amsas and the demigods, Vishnu Tattva and all other living beings are part of the Supreme. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetanam. Krishna is the full representation of all living entities. And when Krishna is present, all avatars are included in him. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the incarnations of each yuga in chronological order. The Bhagavatam says, Krite Shuklas Chaturbahu Tretayam Rakto Varnastu Dvapare Bhagavan Shyamaha and Krishna Varnam Tushakrishnam. We actually see that in Kali Yuga, Bhagavan has appeared in the Pita Varna or yellow color as Gaur Sundar. Although the Bhagavatam speaks of Krishna Varnam, to adjust all the statements, one should understand that in some yogas, some of the colors are prominent, in every yoga, whenever Krishna appears, all the colors are present. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears without Krishna or blackest color, he is understood to be Krishna himself. Idanim Krishnatam Gataha, the same original Krishna who appears in different varnas have now appeared. The word asan indicates that he is always present. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in his full feature, he is understood to be Krishna Varnam, although he appears in different colors. Prahlad Maharaj states that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Channa, that although he is Krishna, he is covered by a yellow color. Thus, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the conclusion that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Pita color, he is Krishna. Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnam Sangha Pangostra Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedhasa. Jashla Prabhupada ki. With blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas, senior devotees, I'd like to present this class. Today is a very significant verse, although I am not the right person to do the justice to such a beautiful verse, but somehow I am sitting here trying to just repeat the purports of Srila Prabhupada. This is the chapter is basically Lord Krishna shows the universal form, but in the beginning it is explained how Gargamuni visits the house of Nanda Maharaj, and there the name giving ceremony is happening. It's like it's supposed to be a festival, like Nityananda Prabhu was speaking very nicely, saying in India all the ceremonies are done with a lot of pomp and kind of, nowadays they have lost the spirit, but pomp and, you know, those things, pompous ceremonies are happening without the spirit. But here, the ceremony is the most important aspect. Therefore, although there is not a big ceremony as such, like a pompous ceremony, but Nanda Maharaj is insisting that Garga Muni should conduct this ceremony. Whether there is a celebration or not, the ceremony itself is a celebration. And he takes him very sickly to the cow shed, where he wants him to utter the names of these two wonderful sons, that is Balaram and Krishna. And it is secretly done. Some devotee was saying it was so secret. Nanda Maharaj said, nobody will be there, just you and me and these two boys. None of my relatives, that includes the ladies, because they immediately spread the word. So no ladies, no, not even cows, just you and us in the cow shed. Maybe some, say these are two boys, they are very innocent, they don't know what is happening, so they won't take it seriously, and in this way nobody will know. And the ceremony takes place, finally, and Garga Muni, although he was very eager to do it, but he was little scared, afraid of Kamsa's atrocities. Prabhupada also says, in this particular verse, he reveals Krishna's identity partially, and partially covers it also because of his fear that Kamsa may come to know and his atrocities will increase. So these great leaders, we can see, they are always careful in their dealings, because we may say, well, Krishna is Supreme Lord, what is the problem? He knows he is Supreme Lord, so let us declare it boldly. But then such things may inspire Kamsa to do increase his atrocities in general population, unnecessarily kill more and more people, which no sadhu wants. Therefore, he was afraid. Otherwise, he knows Krishna is going to kill him. He knows the entire, like Prabhupada says, Gargamani is such a great personality. He knew the past, he knew the present, and he knew the future also. That was his status. He knew what is exactly going to happen. But still, he would not speak something which will create problem in the society. And therefore, he was scared. But at the same time, in this particular verse, he is revealing Krishna's identity. And the previous verse, he revealed Lord Balaram's identity. Yesterday, Subhalashpu spoke very nicely, saying how Balaram actually is going to unite two families of Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj. And that uniting factor is very, very significant in a spiritual society, that how Guru actually brings disciples to Krishna and brings everyone together to Krishna. That is the uniting factor. And also he was correlating that to Hanumanji, saying how Hanumanji brought Ram and Sita together, he brought Sugriv and Ram together, he brought Bharatji and Ram together, like that he was uniting Hanumanji as a guru, representing as a guru. So similarly, Balaramji, who is the original spiritual master, he always tries to bring all the living entities close to Krishna, always remaining in the background himself. And we know certain aspect, I just want to speak before we embark on this particular verse, is that same Balaram appears as Nityan Prabhu in this age, Kali Yuga. And it is explained by our acharyas that without his mercy, we cannot understand God, Krishna, or our relationship with him. So we are about to understand who is Krishna in this particular verse, but without Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, it is difficult. It is explained. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj was speaking on this particular aspect, and he was saying that how Raghunath Das Goswami, who is actually previous to, before he became a Goswami, when he was a householder, he was very much attracted to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very much attracted to lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was not attached to his wealth. He had wealth more than Indra, it is explained. Lot of wealth. But then he was unable to get Mahaprabhu's lotus. He was trying to escape from his household life, from family, from all this entanglement. But he was failing again and again. So one day Nityananda Prabhu was there near his house, near his village, Saptagram, close by, near Panihati. Nityananda Prabhu was there with his associates. So he goes to meet him. If not Mahaprabhu, let us, Nityananda Prabhu is here, let us go and meet him. So he goes and pays his obeisance from a distance. From a distance, out of humility, whatever it is. He was paying his obeisance from a distance. Then suddenly Nityananda Prabhu's associates recognized him, because he was a very known person in social circle. So they said, Nityananda Prabhu, here is Raghunath, who is paying his obeisances to you. So Nityananda Prabhu saw him. He said, oh, finally the thief has come. He said like that. So when I heard about that, I was always wondering, why is he saying thief? You know, because he is paying his obeisance from a distance, from a corner, not coming in front. Sometimes when we do something wrong, we keep distance from our authorities, you know. We keep distance. We don't come close. Dur se dandut. So is he doing something like that? But what is his fault? I was thinking. Then Nityananda Prabhu brings him nearby, places his lotus feet on his heads. I will punish you. So as a part of punishment, you have to feed Dahi Chuda to all my associates. Saranda Swami says, that's not a big deal. So He not only feeds his associates, he feeds entire people of the entire village. Everyone was it. He fed everyone. But then Bhaktacharya Maharaj was explaining why he called him Thip. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually property of Nityan Prabhu. In the sense, like our Radhana Swami Maharaj, he was explaining during our Gaur Purnima time. He was saying, Nityananda Prabhu is the personality to whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually told to go and preach. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the mood of Srimati Radharani. That mood was to compassion mood, to help conditioned living entities to come back to Krishna's lotus feet. And that mood he entrusted to Nityananda Prabhu, saying, you go and preach and bring them. So therefore that mercy he was carrying, and that was under his possession. So he was saying, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was property of Nityananda Prabhu. So if somebody is trying to achieve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without Nityananda Prabhu's blessings or permission, then that is theft. That means, suppose I have a, or I don't, somebody else has a car. And I try to take the car without his permission. It is an act of thievery, isn't it? It's an act of theft. So you are saying, you are trying to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, trying to achieve Lord Mahaprabhu's lotus feet without my blessings. Therefore you are trying to steal, therefore you are a thief. Although he was unsuccessful, still the act itself is thievery. So therefore he says, Narottam Das Thakur says, Gheno Nitai Vine Nai Radha Krishna Paite Nai. One cannot achieve Radha Krishna without Nityananda Prabhu's blessings. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is combined form of Radha Krishna. So therefore, anyone trying to attend Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet without Nityananda Prabhu's blessings is actually a thief. So therefore, one's primary duty is to approach this Lord Balaram, who is the original guru. Without his blessings, if you try to understand who is Krishna, what is Krishna, and what is the relationship with our relationship with him, this will be futile actually. We will not be able to successful. So understanding this, so Gargamuni also introduces first Baldev, then he is introducing Krishna, and in many verses he is explaining. So this is the first one where Prabhupada says he is explaining it partially, disclosing, and partially covering, not speaking fully. This is Asan Varnas Trayoyasya. So this Krishna, this son of yours, Varnas Trayoyasya, he had three different colors in three different yugas. Grunatam Yugam Tanuhu. Tanuhu means body. So different color of the body he takes up. It's not that he is given. He takes up himself. He accepts in three different yugas. And what are those colors? Shukla Raktas Tatha Pita. So Shukla means white, Raktas means red, and Pita means yellow. And the same person, Idanim Krishna Tam Gataha. But in this time he has accepted blackish color. He has taken up this black color. And Prabhupada very extensively quotes Jiva Goswami, Shripada Jiva Goswami, and he says how Krishna is the actually Supreme Personality of Godhead, original personality having this blackish color, and he appears in different ages, takes up different color. So, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, takes this verse to explain Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Krishna. And all our Gaudiya Vaishnavas takes this verse as an evidence that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll try to, it is explained in this purport that how in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam these different color and different incarnations are explained. So we'll just try to understand these things in a more elaborate way, going to 11th canto basically. That is the whole plan of this class. So we just saw how Raghunath Das Swami, although he is very wealthy, he could not purchase the wealth that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unless we have the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, it is not possible. So in this way, we'll just try to understand these particular aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 11th canto, these things are explained actually. So in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, King Nimi is inquiring from the Avadhut Brahman. What's his name? Avadhut, no? Navayagandhara Yogi, sorry. Navayagandhara's. And Navayagandhara, they are answering his questions. So the King Nimi is actually asking, Kasmin Kalesa Bhagavan Kim Varna Kidrisho Nibhihi Namna Va Kena Vidhana Pujyate Tad Iho Chetam. So this is a very nice question where he's saying, in what colors and forms does the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in each of different ages? Straight questions. What are the colors? What are the names? And what are the forms? Kim Varna, that is color. Kim Namna, what are the names? And Kidrisho, what form? And Yuga Yuga, and which all the ages? So Krishna explains actually in Bhagavad Gita that I appear in every millennium. Yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata yabhitanama dharmasya tatmanu sajamayam paritranaya sadhana vinashya duskritam dhanva sangsthapanartaya sambhavami yuga yuga. So sometimes Krishna is explained as three yogi, like we know famous conversation Sarvam Vatacharya, Gopinath Acharya, that how Sarvam Vatacharya refuses Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Supreme Lord by saying that he is three yogi. He appears in three ages, not in Kali Yuga. So but Krishna says in Gita, I appear in every millennium. Yuga Yuga. He's not saying Sambhavami Tri Yuga. He's saying Sambhavami Yuga Yuga. Every ages. And here the question is also, what are the incarnations in different ages? What are the colors? What are the forms? What are the... in which way people worship? Pujyate tad ichchayatam. That I wish to know, in what way all these forms are worshipped in different ages. So the question is full, complete. And the answers came that Krite Shlukas Chaturbahur. In Krite means Satyug, he appears in Shukla color, white color. So the Gargamuni, whatever he said, it is explained again here, confirmed that he comes in white color in Satyug. Chaturbahur, he has four arms. Jatilo Valkama Varaha, that means he has matted lock hairs. He comes as a brahmachari basically, with white, pure white color, that is, you know, we can say mode of goodness, but transcendental, whitish color, with matted locked hair, because of brahmacharya, he's living like a rishi, matted hair, and wearing blackish tree, deer skin, and tree bark, and he says, wears a garment of tree bark and he carries a black deer skin, a sacred thread, prayer beads and the rod and water pot as a brahmachari. In this way the Lord appears. And in Satyoga, how people worship him? He says, in Satyoga, people in Satyoga are peaceful. The qualities he's explaining, the people of Satyoga, they're very peaceful, non-envious, friendly to all creatures, and steady in all situations. They worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by austere meditation and by internal and external sense control. So this is very interesting because for meditation certain qualifications are required. And in Satyoga all these qualifications are actually there within the people. They are peaceful, they are non-envious. So this is very difficult nowadays, being non-envious. And being peaceful is difficult without being non-envious. And they're friendly to all living entities. That means they're all vegetarians those days. They would not kill. Very austere. That means they would just eat some fruits that falls from the tree or some leaves that drops from the tree, they would eat. That's all. They don't even, probably they would not eat grains and all those things. Very austere and friendly and steady in all situations. They're steady. Sometimes something happens, we get very disturbed. In Kali Yuga especially. There was one terrorist attack in Mumbai. I remember the entire, for weeks together, people in local trains would not converse. They're all silent. I have observed that. They're so scared, they're so shocked. They're not able to speak to each other. In local train was silent for many, many days. So we get easily disturbed in difficult situations. So their steady means they would not be disturbed. No matter what happens, steady. So therefore, because seeing those qualities, the Lord appears in a form to teach them a system which they can adopt and achieve Him. So not only that, it says there, samanacha damanacha, that yajanti tapasa devam samanacha damanacha, that they were sama, steady, and daman, sense control. So there are two things. We also come across these particular words, Sama and Dhamma in Bhagavad Gita, that how the Brahmanas has these qualities, Sama and Dhamma. So Prabhupada says, Sama refers to internal control, whereas Dhamma refers to external control. Dhamma means controlling senses. Our external sense objects should not be affecting the senses. And Sama means within, the mind must be controlled. Because their minds are, minds of those people are controlled, their senses are completely controlled. Therefore, they are able to meditate. And in this way, they will be able to achieve the Supreme Lord. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, four types of people approach Him. Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam. Achari, what is that? Chatur Vida Bhajante Mam, Jana Sukritin Arjuna, Artha Jigyansi Arthaharthi, Gyanicha Vartar Sava. So, this refers to this particular is, you know, Gyanis, those who are all having these qualities, they could meditate. And they worship the Lord as this supreme Brahmachari who appeared in that particular form. Whereas in Treta Yoga, it is said, Tetayam Rakta Varnosu Chatur Bahu Sri Mekhalaha Hiranya Klesha Tvaya Atmaha Suk Survadi Upalakshanta. That means, in Treta Yoga, the Lord appears with red complexion. He has four arms, golden hair, and wears a triple belt representing the initiation into each of the three Vedas. Embodying the knowledge of worship by sacrificial performance, which is contained in the Rig, Sama, and Yajur Vedas, his symbols are the ladle, spoon, and other implements of sacrifice. So in the Treta Yuga, he appeared as in reddish color. So I was thinking what that color would look like. Sometimes we see some European people are very reddish. Krishna comes as black, so Africans are also black. Mahaprabhu comes as yellow, that are, some Asians are yellow in color. So these things are there in a very, without any, you know, transcendental attributes. These colored people are there. But when Lord appears in reddish color, it must be very extremely beautiful with golden hair, you know. Some Europeans also have golden hair. Must be very beautiful color. But with four arms and golden hair, wears a triple belt representing three Vedas. And he was carrying a spoon to offer, you know, arghya, or this ghee, into the sacrifice, into the fire. And all this, with all this paraphernalia appears to teach what? To teach the process of yajna. And because it is explained that Supreme Lord has all the demigods within His body, so therefore all these Vedas, sacrifices actually was to achieve the Supreme Lord through sacrifices. Of course, the three Vedas teaches us Karma Kanda, that is these sacrifices, three Veda. So when I was saying this these four types of people approach Krishna, Artha, Jigyansu, Artharthi, Gyanicha. So Gyani is little referred to Satyuk type people. And this Artharthi is actually Tirtha Yuga type of, who's kind of followed Karmakandi type of sacrifices. But at that time, the Lord proposed that so that they can achieve Him through that activities. But now, people do all this kind of thing, Kali Yuga people do all these things, but without understanding the purpose, because the Lord didn't, what He taught in that age is actually lost. It was meant for that age. And in Dwapara Yuga, it is explained, as in Treta Yuga, those members of human society who are fixed in religiosity, dharma, and are sincerely interested in achieving absolute truth and worship Lord Hari. So, in Treta Yuga, people basically worship the Lord by the names Vishnu, Yajna, Prishnigarbha, like that. Whereas in Dwapara Yuga, it is explained, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in a dark blue complexion, wearing yellow garments. That is Krishna. The Lord's transcendental body is marked with incarnations with Srivastha and other distinctive ornaments, and He manifests His personal weapons. That is Sudarshan Chakra. So, in this way, He explains, in Dwapara Yuga, men who desire to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Enjoyer, worship Him in the mood of honoring a great king. And He explained how Lord Krishna is actually worshipped as a king of all kings in this that Yajna Yudhishthira Maharaj conducted, Rajasya Yajna. In Rajasya Yajna, Krishna was established as king of all kings. So in Dwapara Yuga, He is actually worshipped as a big king. And in Dwapara Yuga, what is the qualities of people? In Satyayuga, they have all this self-control, mind control, and friendly, all this, you know, peaceful, non-envious, all these qualities were there in the people. Whereas in Treta Yuga, they were little less. The Karma Kandi type of things crept in, but then the Lord worshipped them, taught them how to do yajna, sacrifices through which they could achieve Him. Whereas in Treta Yuga, they were simply inquisitive to know, it is explained. They were Dwapara Yuga, men who desire to know, inquisitive, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Enjoyer as the King of all kings. Following these perceptions of the Vedas and Tantras. So that's how Treta Yuga people worshipped the Supreme Lord and achieved Him in that way. So therefore, the Artha Jigyasu Artharthi Jnani. So sometimes Artharthi, some Acharya explain that why Artho Jigyasu Artharthi. So Jigyasu comes before, after or before Artharthi. So Artharthi is a little, you know, lower than Jigyasu. One is looking for fruits, you know, money. How can he be placed higher than Jigyasu? Jigyasu is inquisitive. But here it is explained that in Treta Yuga, all the Prabhupada explains in the purport, although in Treta Yuga, they are kind of doing sacrifices following the Vedas, three Vedas, which is Karmakandi, but they are better than people of Dwapara Yuga, who are simply inquisitive, that's all. Inquisitive to know, that's all. Not trying to achieve. But the Lord comes and then He explains that how those who desire to know, then He comes as a king and they worship Him in the form of that king, and in this they achieve Him. It is explained like that. So that is the Jigyasus are little inferior than Artharthi. And of course what remains is Kali Yuga, Artha. So in Kali Yuga, all these qualities are not prominent. Although it may be that to some extent, but it is not prominent. Prominent is that distress. So those who are in distress, they come to Krishna in this age. And therefore, He explains, iti dvapare urva isa stuvanti jagadishwaram nana tantra vidhanena kalau api tathasrunu. He says, in this way, Dwapara Yuga, they worship the Lord as king and achieve Him. And then He says, nana tantra vidhanena kalau api. And even in Kali, as of Kali, people will worship the Supreme Lord. It's not that Supreme Lord is not going to be worshipped. So normally it is accepted, okay, now everything is over, what remains, no qualities remains, who is going to worship in Kali Yuga? But He says, no, in Kali Yuga also people is going to worship. the Supreme Lord. Kalo api tatha srunu, now hear, he's saying. O king, in this way, people in Dwapara Yuga glorified the Lord of the universe. In Kali Yuga also, people worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by following various regulations of the revealed scriptures. Now kindly hear. So two things. They understand the Supreme Lord by following various scriptures. There is no direct, the Lord directly doesn't proclaim that he is the Lord. So only through following scriptures we'll be able to understand who is the Supreme Lord in this age. And in this way, we'll be able to understand who is the Supreme Lord for Kali Yuga. And then he speaks this famous verse. Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnam Sangopangastra Parsadam Yagyain Sankirtana Prayer Yajatihi Sumedhasa. Then again here also he doesn't say directly. He says in white color, he explains. Then he says red color. Then he says black color. But in this verse he doesn't speak about color. In fact, he speaks a little confusing. Krishna Varnam. Although it is explained yellow color is there, but yellow color doesn't appear in this verse. So Acharya explains in different ways this verse. Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnam. Although he belongs to Krishna category, Krishna Varnam, there is a Chatur Varnam, Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Varna. But this, he is not this four Varnas, he is Krishna Varna. This I heard from some devotee, very nice. Vishnu Tattva, something like that. Krishna Varnam. And Srila Prabhupada explains, quoting various Goswamis, he is saying Krishna Varnam means, he is always describing Krishna. Varna means also Akshar, the letters, Varna. So, Krishna, these two Varnas are always in his mouth. And also Varnati means describing. He always describes about Krishna, this particular incarnation. He describes about Krishna all the time. Krishna Varnam. But his bodily color is not black. Is Tusha a Krishna. His bodily color is not black. Is he's not saying yellow. He's saying, he's keeping it a secret. Then he says, Yagyahi Sankirtana Prayer. That, how do you know the next quality? That prior means mostly. So in this age of Kali, the best way to worship him is through Sankirtan Yajna. Not other process, not meditations, not sacrifices, yajnas, or not even being inquisitive. That is not the prior, best feature. The best feature is what? Prominent feature, prior means prominent. Prominent feature is what? Yajna Sankirtana. Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yajanti hi sumedasa. Those who are endowed with good intelligence, nice intelligence, they will worship this particular form of the Lord who appears in Kali Yuga. So, Prabhupada says, in this age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead of Kali Yuga, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons and confidential companions. So, I'll just read the various purports Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse, and we'll end the class. So, the three colors he explains, what is the remaining color? Remaining color is yellow. So therefore, he explained three colors, three incarnations. Now this incarnation has to be yellow. What is the remaining color is yellow, although he doesn't speak. So although it is Tusha or Krishna, it is not black, is there, what is it? It is yellow. That's how Jiva Goswami explains. Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in the commentary in the Bhagavatam, known as Krama Sandharva, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears in golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. This is confirmed by Garga Muni also, because he says white, red, yellow, other than black. These three colors are there. So although he says he appeared in different ages, actually Garga Muni is using past tense. But understand the cycles are, it's a cycle, there is no present and past. In a circle, you don't know where it begins and where it ends. It's just a cycle, you know. So, he is going to appear in yellow in this age, and every age, every Kali Yuga appears in yellow. So therefore it could be past, it could be future also. A tense is actually invalid, redundant in that sense. So Jiva Goswami says, he appears in this golden form in Kali Yuga. So in the three different colors, he exhibited three colors, but the remaining color, that is yellow, gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaurahari. In this way, it is explained that how this incarnation is actually referring to yellow color. Then he describes Krishna's name, Krishna Varnam. Therefore, we can understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that person because he always described Krishna. Always chant holy names, always worship holy names, always speaks his message, that is his instruction to all the living entities. And what is his weapon? Sango, Upanga, Astra. He has three things. He has his Sangha, his associates, Upanga, his limbs, or his servitors, and then his Astra. So Krishna was carrying chakra, but what is Mahaprabhu's weapon? And then Goswami explains, Jiva Goswami explains, that his beauty is his weapon. He says, Sangha Pangastra Parsadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna because his body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and the sandalwood paste. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all people of the age. So because of his supreme beauty, he subdues all the enemies within the conditioned living entities. Satyayuga people didn't have this envy and all these things. They're pure, clean. But in Kali Yuga, all these enemies are there within people. So by Mahaprabhu, by his exhibition of his super excellent beauty, he subdues, he kills all these anarthas in the heart of the people. And thus he attracts. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra or weapon to subdue the demons. Demons within the heart of the conditioned entities. Because he is all attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods lived within him as his companions. His acts are uncommon and his associates are wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates like Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar and Srivas. So in this way, how this Sangopangastra Parshadam is explained. Then another aspect is, it is explained that Krishna name is prominent. Krishna Varnam Tusha Akrishna. So Krishna Krishna comes twice, again and again in that verse. Therefore it is said, he was always chanting Krishna's name. Krishna Krishna, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, what is another feature, is always chanting Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this, he says, to propagate worship in churches, temples or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. Therefore, just go out, chant Hare Krishna. But anywhere and everywhere people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. So in this way, this verse explains. And another aspect is, also in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj explains that how Mahaprabhu's incarnation is Channa. It says, Itham Ru Triyag Rishi Deva Jaha Jasavatare Lokan Vibhayasi Hamsi Jagat Pratipan Dharma Mahapurusha Pasi Yuga Yuga Nuvartas Channa Kalau Yad Bhavas Triyuga Tha Sattvam. He says, although you are Triyuga, you can be different colors in different ages, but in Kali Yuga you especially appear in a hidden way. Channa Kalau Yad Abhavas Triyuga. Although you are Triyugas, but in Kali Yuga you appeared in a secret, in a covered way. So in this way we see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the Supreme Lord who appears in Kali Yuga. Now in different ages the Lord appears, but we see it is difficult for people to recognize him as they just rolled by. Especially, we can see in Satyayuga, of course, they followed instructions, meditated and achieved. And in Treta Yuga, through sacrifices somewhat, they were successful. But in Dwapara Yuga, it's difficult to appreciate Krishna. Many people fail to appreciate Krishna. Even Treta Yuga, Ravana failed to appreciate Lord Ram as the Supreme. So while the Lord was there, actually, in that particular age, taught the Yuga Dharma, people were not able to accept and they failed. Many instances. So in Kali Yuga also, although the Lord appears and teaches the principles, while living in this time and age, we should understand that if we reject it, then we lose. So particular age and particular time, particular thing is taught. And that is applicable in particular time and place, circumstances. So in this age, if we waste time doing meditations and sacrifices and all those things which are not taught by the Lord for this age, then it is a waste of time. And more importantly, that we should understand that how it's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is the actually Supreme Lord of the Kali Yuga. He is the Supreme Lord of this age. So instead of going here and there, if we simply just accept Him, His lotus feet as our whole and soul, and accept His instructions in our life, then life will be successful. And in this way, we can actually perfect. While even living in Kali Yuga, there is no scope, no hope. Even that King Nimi was not expecting Kali Yuga somebody will be worshipping. He says, Kalau also, wait a minute, Kalau also, there is a hope, there is a scope. Lord appears. And Yuga Yuga, every age He appears. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki, sorry, I just overshoot the time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samadha Gaur Bhakta Munda ki, Jai Gaur Premanande.